Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Bell.
Bell who doesn't lose his audio.
Oh. Ouch. Hey, buddy. How's it going?
Well, it's a lot better until you just told me what you did.
It was an accident. It was a mistake.
You monster. We had such good content.
We had like the best. We like established so many new inside jokes in that one episode that we'll have to like try to maybe work them at two Eobards at the same time. Oh my gosh.
I mean, come on. That was great. That was great. And you lost. How did you lose that? That was so good.
I think it's always the best episode you record that you lose.
Yeah.
that's like the law of podcasting. But that's all right, man. We're going to make it up this week. You ready for this?
Let's do it.
Accelerating your fandom, this is Flash TV Talk.
Welcome to Flash TV Talk, a fan podcast dedicated to news, reviews, and more for the hit CW show, The Flash. I'm Bo.
And I'm deeply saddened by your irresponsibility.
You're not going to let me live this down. We did a cold open. We did a cold open addressing it. Seriously? You're going to bring it into the show?
It was so good. We had so many references to movies that came out like in the 90s that most of our audience probably hasn't even seen, but
there was a lot of that. Yes, that's true. We established Cecile's new name as the teacup, which
yes.
Yeah. I mean, well, I guess we just confirmed what the show told us was her superhero name, which is the teacup. And the teacup is the most powerful metahuman on the earth.
And we also established that we know exactly what the CW showrunners would do with $1 million. That's right. Two Eobards at the same time.
Oh man. We're gonna. There's a lot. Yeah, there's a lot to talk about, man. Look, this is a big episode.
Not all studio execs are obsessed with money. The kind that would double up on Eobards are.
It's still funny.
So good. Oh, it's a tragedy. This is like 10%. 10%. Oh man. And it's not even in context of what we were talking about, but it's still just, oh man. Just tears.
I was trying to figure out if there's a way to tie it into the context of this episode. It kind of, but not really. And I think there it is right there. Oh, man. All right. So, first of all, this is the Flash TV Talk podcast. No, it's the TV Talk podcast. We're doing Flash TV Talk this week. That's right. We are right here at the tail end of what has been a pretty epic overall season. Yeah, I mean, it's had some lulls here and there, but for the most part, it started strong. It's finishing even stronger. Really loving this arc that we're getting. Not to tip the bean can here, but I'm very highly positive on a lot of things. Highly questionable about a lot of things. There's a lot of, you know, speedster speculation that's going to happen in this one. So that's going to be a lot of fun. This episode, of course, like all the TV Talk podcast episodes, are made possible by our patrons over at patreon.com/TV Talk. Head over there to help make this show happen. And speaking of happening shows, Bell, you ready for this show to happen?
Let's jump into the rundown.
Episode 19 of season 8, Negative, part 2. No. Part one. Let me try that word.
Are you pretending that we're missing another week of audio and we're just jumping forward to the future? How dare you?
Hey man, look, if we had the right funding for this, you know what I'd do?
What's that?
Two negatives at the same time. Negative part one. Part one. Directed by Jeff Bird and story by
Jonathan Butler and Gabriel Garza.
Bell, what happened this episode?
Well, the Flash reveals his identity to Mina and gives her the moniker Fast Track. Dion kills the imprisoned Thawne and attacks Mina and Flashpoint Thawne alongside the negative force counterparts of Alexa Riviera and Bashir Malik. Iris reappears in 2049 and Joan Williams informs Bart and Nora that Iris's body is flooded with negative tachyons, preventing her from returning to 2022. Nora travels there to inform Team Flash that they realize that the negative forces infected Iris, knowing that she would infect the positive forces. Meanwhile, Mark has Caitlin enter the Consciousness Resurrection Chamber. Cecile realizes that she stole Rosalind Dillon's powers, so Joe brings them to Iron Heights so Cecile can test her powers against Mona Taylor, but she ends up stealing her powers as well. Later, Barry helps Mina share her speed with Flashpoint Thawne, and they fight the negative forces. Negative Dion summons Iris and uses her as a sacrifice from Flash's attacks to resurrect the dead Thawne in the other's body, who then flees.
Dun, dun, dun.
Doo-loo-loo-loo-loo.
Wow. Wow, yeah. Wow, wow. Wow, 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 wow.
Lots happening this episode.
Lots happening. Lots happening. Let's start with Teacup. interesting. This is just a lot. There's a lot of storylines. We're here at the tail end of the season. There's a lot of storylines that need to be tied up in nice little bows and also maybe even set up for next season. And, you know, it's interesting with all of the cosmic speedster time travel force stuff that's going on. We do get kind of a little bit of a question mark on what is going on with Central City's latest superhero, the Teacup. That's right. The Teacup. That's what we're calling Cecile. That's what the villain called her last week. And until we get another name, we're calling her the Teacup. Okay. Is everybody on board with this?
It works on multiple levels, too, because, you know, she can now induce vertigo. And so the teacups is the spinny, you know, cup ride at the amusement parks that causes vertigo. Oh. So like it works. It works on multiple levels.
It's brilliant. There you go. It's perfect. Is she, Belle, the Martian Manhunter of the mental metas? Because it seems as though she is getting like all of these powers. And, you know, there's almost kind of been a MacGuffin nature to her powers, whatever they kind of need to like fix the scenario at the end of the season. You know, Cecile, plug her into a machine and then her brain can just do a thing. Or, put on a helmet and now she can do the thing. Or, she's feeling this and maybe that means she can transfer the powers. Last week, we got a chance to see her really utilizing her powers in a really cool way. I'm loving the way the emotional spectrum is kind of seen through her eyes, the way that she can kind of manipulate that. And that's an exciting premise for her character. But then with their kind of adding on the whole, she can steal other people's powers. And that was like, I don't know that we need that. Like what we just got with her is pretty epic. Like, and it is already pretty much a level up. Why is she stealing other people's powers? Belle, what's going on with Cecile?
I don't know. There's ethical implications there that I thought would have a bigger impact on her. And maybe it will. I think we have yet to see that. But like, you know, I think she her intention was to borrow the power and she ended up stealing it. And so, you know, like that's who we saw at the end of last episode, who we were kind of wondering who that was. But that was Golden Top, who was following her. Right. And So what's interesting, though, is that the stealing aspects, you know, seems to bring up a whole, you know, dish of ethical issues that you would think Cecile would have problems with, especially if it was unintentional. And, you know, to test her power, she stole another set of powers. And so will she be able to grant those powers back? And if she does, will she lose them? Or is this a thing where she can kind of like Rogue sort of absorb the powers and keep them permanently? Except for, I guess, she doesn't have to kill somebody to do that.
And maybe this is kind of, you know, if I'm going to cast my memory back a little bit, but is it possible that her power, her meta ability has always been to steal the meta abilities of others? And maybe the baby was supposed to be a mental baby, like have psych powers, but she stole that from the baby early on during the pregnancy and just assumed it was hers ever since. Like there's almost kind of like a Siler from Heroes?
Yeah, yeah. Or not necessarily. Who's the other one that could steal power or copy powers?
You're thinking of Peter Petrelli. Peter Petrelli would borrow powers, though. He wouldn't like straight up take them.
Yeah, yeah. But I guess the difference here is that Cecile doesn't need to kill anybody and like look at their brain to steal their powers.
Arguably, neither did Siler. But yeah, it is interesting. There was they kind of did some different things with Heroes. But that's another show from a while back. Yeah. I don't know. I feel like this is an odd move. Obviously, this is with purpose. Like, there's obviously a reason why we need Cecile taking all of these powers, and maybe that's going to kind of tie into the negative forces. Like I said, a lot of times at the end of the season, when the big bads are getting big badder and badder and bigger, we need Cecile to do a thing, and kind of her powers can kind of be a little bit different in order to fit whatever they need to create a fix. And so maybe that's what's going on, but I don't know. I just really like what they did last episode. And I really hope they don't walk that back. Cause I was like, that's really cool. That's an awesome concept. That's visually stunning and could be really fun to play around with, especially with her being able to be a kind of a window into the emotional spectrum. And then if she's just kind of stealing everybody else's powers and now she's got vertigo and now she can read people's minds and now she can do yada, yada, yada. And it's like, I mean, okay. You know, but like,
maybe
spend some time on the cool thing. Yeah.
Right. It's like, you know, adding too much whipped cream to like, you know, a piece of pie or something. Right. You know,
whipped cream is good.
And it accentuates the pie. And so like with her, you know, emotional spectrum powers, it was really neat to see that. And like, I want to explore that. But then you start adding, oh, she's got this and she's got this and she's taking this and she's taking this. And you just add up too much whipped cream. And it's like all of a sudden it's like you've just diluted the cool stuff about her powers and the, you know, implications of what that can mean for future storylines into we need Cecile to do this psychic thing. So she's just going to go find somebody to take the power and do it. And yeah,
right.
I hope that's not the avenue they're going down. I hope this is something where they can, you know, continue to utilize the emotional spectrum side of it and keep doing stuff with that, because that's really interesting. Like you said, it's visually stimulating as well. It's really, really cool. And so let's maybe play with that. We only got one episode of it.
I know, right? I'm wondering if all of this could be, you know, we speculated a long time ago of like, well, what if Cecile was the new psycho pirate? Like, what if they're doing something with that, or kind of bringing her back to that space? And I don't know, maybe that's the case here. I don't know. We'll give them time. They're clearly doing something. And as we saw this episode, Bell, sometimes when things don't make sense, it means that they've got a cool idea. They just don't have time to deal with it yet. And it'll all either quote unquote make sense or at least all be alluded to during a really epic storyline in the future. Because, man, this really has been a pretty epic storyline that we've been getting here. You know, everything with the time sickness has kind of been leading up to this concept of these negative forces. You know, Eobard's return, getting him ready to essentially be, I think, and perhaps this is speculation, but I think the new avatar of the negative speed force, which is pretty phenomenal if that's the case. You know, I feel as though a lot of what they've done with the force storyline that was, if you will, forced before, seems to be getting kind of cleaned up a little bit, perhaps in this storyline. You know, I would love, for example, for Nora to no longer be the avatar for the Speed Force. I would love for Barry to be the avatar of the Speed Force. Or perhaps, and this might very well may be the case, we speculated on this a long time ago, Iris becoming the avatar for the Speed Force. Because dadgummit, Bell, Iris is not dead. They did not kill her. She's not dead. And you shut your face.
Well, it's so like, you know, it was like, It was a great plan coming to fruition kind of moment to see that. And you're like, oh, wow, like that's what he was getting at. And that's what he was doing. So like, you know, the negative tachyons in Iris dies, turns in or quote dies, gets hit by the lightning. We'll say that she gets hit by the lightning. She turns into green particles. Those green particles go into Thawne. Those are the negative tachyons maybe that Eobard needed to regenerate. Like everything stuck the landing at the end there. Which was really great to see. It kind of took. It's kind of like you know you're downhill skiing, right? And then like you sort of roll like halfway down the run, but you catch your footing, and then you hit that final jump, and you do your like triple backflip and stuff. that's sort of what we were looking at with this you know time sickness storyline. Because I feel like a lot of that stuff wasn't explained at all. Like now, correct me if I'm wrong, but did we know there were negative still forces and negative strength force and negative, you know, like were those ever mentioned before?
So no is the quick answer, but everybody was certainly acting as though this was just common knowledge of this episode. But no, I don't think that was ever really fully explored, but I think it does. It makes sense. I actually don't, you know, if again, as I've expressed before, not a huge fan of the force plot lines, but we're here. And the force concepts, but we're here. And so since we do have forces, I like the idea of there being negative forces, especially if there's going to be a still force and a negative speed force. The concept, okay, well, then a negative still force there must be. I'm actually down with that. I think that makes sense. And it kind of, you know, it potentially sets up a lot of really kind of cool ways in which they could reshuffle the deck a little bit for the way they set up the these various forces and whatnot. All right, so you said they stuck the landing. Of course, ultimately, we're all building up to, and that's where kind of a bit of a question mark is, was the end game here for them to create a new negative speed force? And if that's the case, is it Eobard? Is that what they were trying to do? Is basically get Eobard back in the books, back on the timeline, back into a full resurrection, so that he could become just like Dion, just like all the other forces had their kind of human avatars that, that ultimately became the avatar for the forces. Is that what they were after? For to level up Thawne, right? That's the big thing of this season, right? Barry leveled up. He's been getting faster. Thawne wasn't getting faster. Everybody, Allegra, she's been leveling up. We see Chester. He's in the field now. He's all techie and everything. He's leveling up. We see that Cecile, she's now the teacup. Central City's most powerful hero. We've got all of these characters. They're going through this level up process. Iris has been leveling up to some extent. Like, we're all leveling up. Is the end game here is that our heroes have been leveling up. Now we need to level up our villain. Now we need to take Thawne. He's no longer just the Reverse Flash. He is now the avatar of the negative speed force, an anti-god, a demon, a dark god, if you will. Like, he is now far beyond Barry. Which means, in order for Barry to defeat him, Barry would have to take the place and become the new avatar of the Speed Force. Or, as I was saying, and we'll talk more about this in a minute, there's a potential that Iris could actually end up being that as well. So I'll put that part to the side. That's what I gather. That's what the negative forces were after, is to resurrect Eobard and put him back into the timeline. Which, by the way, I predicted last episode, but y'all didn't hear it because I lost it. But just trust me, I called that.
Yeah,
that's what I got. But is that what you got, Bell?
Yeah, just from Dion's, you know, speech, what he was talking about. It's like they were tired of you know, they had lost one of them, right? The negative speed force avatar was gone, and so the regular still force and the regular other forces, you know, they had a speed force, right? They had a fourth force that kind of, you know, made them more powerful, which made the negative forces kind of hide in the shadows. And so, yes, I think that was exactly their plan, was to resurrect Eobard as the avatar of the negative speed force, and so therefore balance out the scales. However, right now, with all the other forces sick with the time sickness or whatever, because they tried to help Iris, things are out of whack, right? And so I think, again, it's more speculation-y, but yeah, I think we're going to see a balancing out in the fact that Barry or someone is going to become the avatar of the Speed Force. Maybe Iris, we'll see. But I think you're exactly right. I think that's what Dion was trying to do. He was trying to balance out the forces by, you know, leveling the playing field by making Eobard the new avatar of the Reverse Speed Force.
Yeah, I think that does seem to be the case. Okay, let's talk about Barry being, I was about to say Barry being stupid, but I could just say Barry being Barry. Barry, buddy, why are you giving Eobard powers, man? That's not what we do. We don't give Eobard powers, especially when the powers are the negative speed force. That's like the opposite of what we do, bud. What's the actual force, man?
I mean, it's one thing if they didn't firmly establish that the force that Mina was tapping into was indeed tied to, maybe not directly, but tied to the negative speed force. And it's like, you got Eobard, this dude who is like, you know, wants to kill you. And yeah, sure, he's reformed now. The Time Lords or whatever, you know, brought him back to do good. But the thing that turned him bad in the first place was the negative speed force. And so you're sitting there thinking, okay, he's good now. Because, like, that was his intention, right? That's what he said. It's like, I wanted to be Barry. I want to do this. But his ambition was, you know, fed upon by the negative speed force and turned him into the Reverse Flash. And so you're sitting there saying, okay, so I got this good Eobard and I'm going to give him the negative speed force and he's still going to be good because he's got a lightning rod now. I mean, you know, I mean, I don't know, maybe it's a little naive. It is slightly different because yes, there is a lightning rod there for him to, you know, to ground him, so to speak. But still, you're giving him access to this negative speed force and it's probably not the best idea. And obviously it wasn't. it was a terrible idea.
Why did it have to be Eobard? Why couldn't it just be like literally anyone else who was in love, if you want to go based on that concept there? It's one thing. And the other thing is, like, I don't know. Mina seems like a, what's the right word here? What's the exception to the rule, right? Like Mina seems kind of like the variable to some extent here, because we've never seen negative speed force impact somebody, even somebody who loves people. Like the negative speed force always goes, you know, negatively. So it was a bad call. It was a very Barry call, which means it was a very bad call.
Yeah, he's just you're far too trusting.
Yeah,
to quote Tarkin.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. And the other thing is like, okay, so we got Eoblond, okay, who was always a false Eobard, okay? Like he was always an offshoot from an alternate timeline. He was never, you know, he was never the prime, okay? So let's just establish that. Eoblond is great. Eoblond is great. And I know he did some amazing things on Legends in a villainous fashion, and then apparently not in a villainous fashion. But regardless, he's not the Eobard. He's not the prime Eobard. He never was. He was never going to be. This was always kind of a placeholder. But he did offer up a very interesting situation. This concept of sacrifice, of having, like, you know, Eobard embody, and then the sacrifice essentially of Iris's soul, and these cosmic forces coming together to, like, break and remake time in their own image, in their own negative image, to resurrect Eobard, the true Eobard, the prime Eobard, the HG Eobard, like the full Tom Cavanagh Eobard, season one baby, fully powered. You know, this is some juicy stuff, man. Like if it took the forces to get Eobard back, I accept it. You know, yeah. I can accept it.
And they're not calling, you know, Barry and Iris mom and dad anymore, so that's fine.
Well, so I was glad about that. I was just the entire time I was like, don't do it. Don't do it. And I know they're negative versions and everything, but even still, like, don't do it.
Yeah. Yeah. And that birthing scene, as it were.
Oh my gosh. That was horrific. Yeah. That was incredible.
It was so good. So good. And the suit is different too.
Well, it's the suit from from Armageddon, the yellow suit from Armageddon. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I don't, I mean, as I recall, Gustin pulled it off a lot better than Kavanagh.
I don't know if maybe that's just nostalgia from the original Reverse Flash suit, because, like, you know, seeing Flashpoint Thawn in it.
Blonde, yeah.
Yeah, and then seeing Kavanagh in the new suit. I think Barry does pull it off better.
Well, and I think that, if I'm remembering correctly, it's very possible. Well, let's just put it this way. It's possible that he'll be going through another, like he'll have another suit too before the end of the next episode.
Well, yeah. I mean, we've talked about some, you know,
we haven't
photos.
Described anything in terms of what it looks like, but I mean, like, well, let's just say that it's not shocking that Tom Cavanagh is back as a full fledged, you know, Eobard Thawn. When that was revealed to us visually, he was wearing something different. So it's very possible that this is not the final suit he's wearing, which, by the way, I love. I love it when we go through multiple superhero suits.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Mina's suit was awesome. Like, that was,
yo,
that was great,
dude,
looking suit.
Yes. Yes. Fantastic. Fast Track suit looks like stripped straight out of the papers, man. Straight out of the pages.
Yeah. Yeah. It looked wonderful. Like, I thought that was great. And I was curious at first if they were going to give her a mask, and they did, and it still worked. Like, it worked great. Like, that was cool. That was really, really good to see.
They decided, like, that she's got the wings, you know, like,
yeah,
silver wings off to the side. It was fantastic. Okay, Nora and Bart, man, they return. Like, this episode really did have everything.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they're in the future with Iris. Nora gets to be kind of a messenger going back and forth. I love the fact that she's like, dad's off world with Uncle Jay, but past dad is still looking for her. I'm like, these kids have so many dads. They're like, well, wait, is that 2022 dad or 2018 dad? Actually, you know what? I think 2039 dad might be around. I don't know.
My 700 dads coming to CW this fall.
Right. Oh man. Anyway. Yeah. So we got a lot of past dads for the kids. But I, you know, we do still kind of see them going back and forth, right? Like making this kind of from the future to the past. Do you think that, and I mean, we'll this will probably play in a little bit more to some of our speculation here, but do you think that we're going to see more of them going forward or less of them going forward?
Well, again, yeah, I think that falls heavily on speculation, but like, Iris herself said that there's timeline changes going on. And, you know, with her seemingly dying here and being used to rebirth the avatar, you know, the negative speed force, that could have implications for the kids. Because up to now, the timeline's been set and they've been fine. But now something has changed. And so, yeah, it's more speculation at this point. But I think there's going to be repercussions for the kids. For sure.
Look, man, this is definitely a speculation heavy episode, or an episode that requires a lot of heavy speculation. So let's do it. But first, let me just go ahead and say it. Caitlin Snow, also in this episode. All right, we'll be right back.
I guess we can cover it in speculation. We got to talk about Caitlin in speculation, though. There's definitely some Caitlin spec there.
Let's put pause, because I want to give Iris the speculation time. So, all right, Belle. All right. So, why are you you're freezing things, man? You're activating the still force. You're freezing time right now, because this is just a classic Caitlin Snow. Also, in this episode, she did nothing. She did nothing, Belle. But she was here.
There were important things that were said. Okay. So I think, you know, and they've been kind of hinting at this, right? Like the whatever the CRC, the consciousness resurrection chamber, is only going to reanimate part of the consciousness that's still in her. And this is why I think it's important, is because I think we're actually going to get a killer Snow in this instance, as I've said before, where the only thing that's going to be left is this, you know, it's not going to be Frost. It's going to be this. Whatever fragment of her consciousness is left is going to be different, and it's going to lead to like a killer Snow kind of thing. And that I think that's important. I think that's cool, and that's going to be neat. We're going to see something like that. So I just wanted to say that bit, because I think that's where that's heading, is we're going to see a killer Snow kind of thing, where whatever she activates that's left of Frost's personality is not going to be good.
I agree. Hashtag killer Snow is coming. Caitlin Snow also in this episode. All right, there we go. We got fine. You know what? Chill Blaine also in this episode.
Thank you.
Hi, this is John Wesley Shipp, and you're listening to Flash TV Talk. Red and yellow, red and yellow, red and yellow, red and yellow. Hold on.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Speedster speculation.
Okay, but the speculation is this. I can't even bring myself to say it. I'm going to say it. Did Iris die in this episode? Is Iris dead? Okay, did they just kill off Iris on the Flash?
I don't know because, you know, I try to stay out of like contract renewal news and things like that, just because that can definitely lead to spoilers. So I don't know for sure if, you know, Candace Patton has signed on for season 9 and in what context. So I don't think that they have killed her. I don't think she's going to be gone. I think it seems to make sense to me that if she wants to be in a limited capacity in the show, that making her a Speed Force avatar for Barry would make sense. So she wouldn't need to be in there, like, you know, because she's effectively dead for the rest of the cast. And for, you know, storylines and whatnot, but she can still be there for Barry as that Speed Force avatar in a limited role. And so, like, you know, if that's something that she wanted to do, I could see them doing that. And so I don't think she's dead per se, because again, like, we didn't see a corpse. We saw green lights, and we've seen the green lights before on Iris. So I don't know. I don't think she's dead, but whether or not she will be Iris in the flesh in the future, I don't know. I don't think so.
Okay. So let's all right. So two things. First of all, no, she's not dead. Like, let's just go ahead and say that she's not dead. She's not dead. They're not going to kill Iris. There's just no way that she's not dead. Okay. She's not dead. And if I say it long enough, it'll be true. I do see an avenue for her to become the new avatar for the Speed Force. That was something, like I mentioned before, we speculated back with the whole Force avatars, and we didn't know what was going on with Nora. We thought maybe she was like the negative Speed Force or something like that, that was trying to like trick him or something of that nature. And, you know, and then they were like, oh no, she's the mother of the Force. And we're like, ooh, that's, what?
I'm sorry, excuse me?
Right, exactly. It seemed off. Everything about that plot line seemed off. But, you know, while, you know, she has been his lightning rod, the concept of Iris kind of becoming his lightning is also something kind of cool. It's something they could definitely play around with, and it would fit with the way that the series has worked, especially if, for whatever reason, Candace doesn't want to be on the last season, and or that they can't reach negotiations. So here's something else, Bell. I think this is you talk about the contract stuff. Let me tell you what we know so far, which is not much. At this point, Candace and by the way, Danielle Panabaker are both not confirmed or unconfirmed for next season. Now, you could argue that they're trying to kind of hold that information back because they're kind of toying around with where these characters are going to go and maybe any kind of deaths that happen or potential deaths in the last season are kind of up in the air and build suspense. Or, as we have seen in this series before, maybe they're writing the characters in such a way that they're expendable so that you're in a better negotiation standpoint from a show standpoint to pay your actors less.
Oh, God, that's awful.
Now, I know it's awful. I'm not saying that's what's happening. This is speculation. This is speedster speculation.
We should have a studio speculation.
Well, you know what they did with all that money?
Nothing good. Well, actually,
two Eobards at the same time.
Yeah. Right? think of all the money. Peterman. Hey, Peterman, what was it? Turn to Channel 9. It's the Speed Force exam.
Speed Force. Negative Speed Force, Channel 9. Yeah.
I did the draw all up there at the Star Labs in Pascagoulas.
Oh, man.
Well, you know, if they did save money on contracts, that's exactly what they would spend it on. Two Eobards at the same time.
got a studio that would double up Eobards on a guy like me.
Oh, Lawrence, right. Not every studio is obsessed with money.
Oh, so good. So good. it's not as funny for the listener, man. They didn't hear the origins of it.
Oh, gosh. Oh, yeah. Everybody's listening like, why are they laughing so hard?
Because I lost it. If I could, if this podcast could be ripped apart right now to bring forth that one, I would.
I was told that there would be a negative Speed Force, and I received no Speed Force. Now there are two Eobards. I'm going to burn down Star Labs.
Office Space, kids, look it up. All right. Actors.
Also,
Candace
fun
Patton.
Fact, I used to live in the apartment complex where they filmed Office Space. I didn't live in the Office Space apartments. Yeah, but the apartment complex where they filmed it, I used to live there.
They filmed that in Austin?
Yeah, it was filmed in Austin. Mike Judge is from Texas. That's why King of the Hill is basically Austin.
You know who else is from Texas?
Candace Patton via
Candace
Mississippi.
Candace Patton. That's right. We're getting back on track here.
Yeah,
Candace Patton.
Yeah. See that?
So yeah, we don't know whether or not she's not signed up for next season. She's also not confirmed to not be on next season. But I do think that they're setting things up in such a story way that she could become the new Speed Force. That would get rid of the weird Nora thing. I'm sorry. I've always thought that the Nora as the Speed Force was weird. And then putting Iris kind of in that role, I think it's interesting. It works for this series. I mean, like, you know, it's very different from the comics. That's okay. This series, by the way, very different from the comics, and that's okay. And so, like, I think that could work pretty well as her kind of becoming a new force from that standpoint. Danielle Panabaker, it's interesting, though. I did not realize until just this moment, trying to look into the Candace situation, I didn't realize her contract was up. So it's very possible that she might be gone at the end of this.
Yeah, and you know, Chilblain was like, we're going to get a new body for this new Caitlin thing. And so if it's a new body, maybe it won't be Danielle Panabaker.
Could be Chilblain. Chilblain could be the new Killer Frost, actually. Maybe one of them has to sacrifice themselves. I know they were kind of veering off here. I didn't want to give Caitlin Snow any time in speedster speculation, but
here we are. Possible.
So that's the thing, though. If she becomes one of the new forces, like then theoretically, she can kind of be back and forth on the show and kind of come in for kind of some special moments and whatnot. And then the other thing too is she could still exist, and the twins could still exist, because that's the other factor too is they can't. This is why Iris can't die. They can't kill the kids. They already killed Nora once, young Nora, Nora West Allen. They can't kill her again. Please. And then also we also just got this like epic Bart, and like we need these kids.
Yeah. And so that's why I think I need one more episode to see like how they address the kids. And if the kids like fade out of existence, I'm going to be very sad, because you can't kill Nora twice and Bart once and not have my heart collapse in on itself.
Yeah. I don't think that's going to happen. It'd be cool though if perhaps we got a situation where the kids stay in the present. You know, maybe the idea is that Iris, I don't know, maybe in order to save them,
she has to pull them into the present.
Yeah, but then also kind of is able, you know, in kind of a similar way that I don't know, like there's some sort of sacrifice that's being made to maintain them in the present. I think could be kind of interesting. I don't want to lose Iris like that. She got done dirty.
Yeah.
Much like David Ramsey before. Of course, people didn't hear that part. But
We had this whole thing about, Dave Ramsey getting done dirty by basically the gist of it was the tears that he was shedding were not for his family, but it was actually David Ramsey crying because he will never become the Green Lantern.
Oh, man.
So many good bits last week. Oh, and you just ruined it.
I know. And this episode is nowhere near as quality as that one was. I feel so bad.
It's like the best episode of the season, and you lose the audio.
I'm sorry.
He lost his audio, mind you. Mine is still sitting there in the Dropbox. If you'd like to listen to my exclusive audio with no context whatsoever, let us know, and maybe we'll release it. I don't know.
You know what? Actually, I tell you what. I'm going to do that as a Patreon exclusive. I will take Belle's audio. I will cut out all the negative spots where it's me talking, so it'll just be Belle.
It'll just be
Belle TV Talk.
It'll just be me talking to no one with answering questions and responding to things that you can't hear.
You know what? That is exactly what I'm going to do. So for patrons, for those that are supporting the show, it's a terrible additional content, but it's available to you.
It's like, you know, paranoid schizophrenic Belle talking to an imaginary Beau that no one else can hear.
You know what? Yeah. Anyway, it'll be there. Hey, by the way, thank you so much for supporting this show. Head over to patreon.com/TV Talk if you'd like to continue to do so. Actually, before I do the official sign out, Belle, any final thoughts on speculation as to where we're going next week?
Just, you know, a really great episode last week. You know, good episode, solid episode this week. It's going to set up something really good for part two next week. So I'm super looking forward to it. There's a lot of speculation-y stuff that's just sort of up in the air, and there's so many things that they could do with it. I mean, from these last couple episodes, it seems like they're making good choices. So let's just hope that continues. And I'm really looking forward to next week's episode. And I just hope it keeps on going up from here.
Yeah, sounds good. Let us know your thoughts. Head over to Twitter at TVTalkFM. You can find all of our contact information and more at TVTalk.FM. You can email the show as well. That is show@TVTalk.FM. That's going to do it for us for this week, but don't worry, we'll be back in a flash.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey, Drew Scott here.
And I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price and help you save when you bundle home and auto. Kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.